Broadcasting live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue in beautiful downtown Milwaukee. It's time for The Upswing on WTMJ, showcasing businesses, entrepreneurs, and community leaders throughout the great state of Wisconsin. Here's your host, Jeff Sherman. 'Cause I'm gonna make this place yours.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, Milwaukee. Happy Friday. As we prepare for Memorial Day weekend, I wanted to do a show that really stays true, right, to our daily conversations here on The Upswing at the intersection of life, community, and business. But while getting a little deeper into the why and the reason, maybe the reasons why we all do what we do, kind of the reason behind work. What we stand for, what we promise to do, how we treat others, how we package and present and position and protect our work and personal lives. These aren't easy answers, right? But it's easier when you talk to good people, like our guest today, Greg Marshall. Greg has led hundreds of organizations nationwide through brand messaging and alignment as chief storyteller at CI Design. He's produced award-winning videos, three of which with his team have won regional Emmys. He's a sought-after keynote speaker, covers topics such like storytelling, branding, marketing, and his impact, no, his office is just a couple blocks from here at the Avenue on Milwaukee Street. His impact really has extended beyond Milwaukee into businesses, nonprofit volunteering, board involvement, school leadership, mentorship, and more. So the why of work, the how of branding, and the what of storytelling, and a bit of rapid fire. We're going to have some fun later on in the show. Some rapid fire on some marketing headlines and some collaborations that are happening nationally, and one that just broke locally. That's what we're going to do. That's today on The Upswing. Greg Marshall, how are you this morning?
I'm doing great. Can't wait to dig in with you.
All right. I appreciate you taking time out of your day. But first, when we come back, we're going to rerun a Hero Week feature from Wednesday. Steve Scafidi's Salute to Service, presented by Waterstone Bank and sponsored by Outdoor Living Unlimited. That's coming up next. This is The Upswing, the Friday edition. We'll be right back after this break. Welcome back to The Upswing. This week is Hero Week on WTMJ, where we recognize some of the first responders in our communities. Steve Scafidi's Salute to Service, presented by Waterstone Bank and sponsored by Outdoor Living Unlimited. Wednesday's honoree was Milwaukee Fire Department Battalion Chief Jeremy Starr. Starr was nominated by Milwaukee Fire Chief Aaron Lipsky and has risen throughout the fire department's ranks throughout his tenure. Here's his story. Take a listen.
Hello, I'm Aaron Lipsky, City of Milwaukee Fire Chief, and I am nominating Battalion Chief Jeremy Starr.
Jeremy Starr with the Milwaukee Fire Department, Battalion Chief, been there for just about 15 years.
I'm nominating him because not only has he been an absolutely outstanding asset for the Milwaukee Fire Department, but it comes with a very, very important history. He's a decorated United States Marine Corps veteran.
So once I did my 4 years active duty, went on a couple deployments, I decided to come back to the city, and I still had that calling for service. So I went from there and joined the fire department. I think it goes back to just serving people. I've never been one that want to sit in the same place. Every time you go on a call, you meet new people, you see different things. It's always a challenge. It's critical thinking. Your mind is always working. So there's never really a dull moment.
From day one as a firefighter to year 15, how have you changed as a person or as a firefighter?
In a lot of ways. One is refining and defining my values, because in that time period, I've had kids. I've been married. Well, my wife's been doing this with me since I was on active duty, so she's been through a deployment overseas with me. So that lifestyle somewhat is normal to her. They have a 7-, 5-, and 2-year-old. It's getting a little bit harder for them, but the biggest thing is continue to talk to them. They come to the firehouse, and the firehouse and the fire service is a family.
He cares about his people, and he is organized.
Every time we go on a call, it's someone's worst scenario. But I try to uplift the person I'm around just a little bit, even if it's just changing it from a traumatic scenario to being like, hey, we're here for you. We got you. Taking a little time just to hang out with them for a little bit and make that experience memorable, because that may be the first or the last time they ever see the fire department, and it should be a positive one. There's one regular patient that we'd have all the time, and I had him on Christmas. We were waiting for an ambulance to come by, and it was like a light snowfall coming down, dark at night. It's kind of like that picturesque. And I told him, what's your favorite Christmas song? And he's like, The Temptations, Silent Night. At the time, my driver had a speaker in there, and I'm like, all right, play it. And while I'm waiting for the ambulance, me and him are sitting there, we're singing The Temptations. And it's just moments like that where you just kind of take them out of whatever bad situation they're in and just make something good out of it, even if it's just a small bit. Mother and
child. You came highly recommended. The chief, Aaron Lipsky, the Milwaukee Fire Department, nominated you. What does that mean to you?
Well, I was taken back when he asked me, and then I was honored. Because you don't necessarily do things for acknowledgement, you just do the job. And so it was an honor that it was even thought of.
What does Salute to Service mean to you?
I think it's continually going out and serving someone or something higher than yourself. Putting the call out there so that someone out there knows that you're going to be there for them. Serve your community, serve your country, serve your family, friends, whatever that is, whether it's small or big, as always, just remember that we're here for others, and that's the most important thing.
That's Steve Scafidi's Salute to Service, Milwaukee Fire Department Battalion Chief Jeremy Starr. Joining us today is Greg Marshall from CI Design. Greg, the why of work, a pretty fitting little segue there with the tribute there with the battalion chief. Give us your introduction, kind of the one-minute Greg Marshall story.
My story, man. Well, I'm a storyteller, and I found my path by not knowing where I fit in the world. Hmm. And I was... Because I couldn't see where I could be valuable in the regular business world or education or manufacturing, I just really couldn't see my place. I had to be really honest about who I was and how I could be valuable to wherever I was. And it was that kind of led to me discovering my path and discovering the whole purpose of work. And so one of the coolest things people say to me at times is I feel like you get paid to be you. And I'd say, yeah, it's totally true. But I didn't get there on purpose. It was an accident. Mm. And looking in the rearview mirror, I can see how it happened. And now I get to help other people and companies figure out how to be more valuable and how to become more fully who they truly are.
And when you look at that why behind work, how do you counsel your clients on, hey, how do you get to that why?
Yes, with clients, a lot of times it's helping them discover it without telling them that's what we're discovering. Hmm. But really, the point of work, I believe, is it's where we choose the kind of person that we want to be.
Yeah.
And work provides that because it's a chance to figure out how to be useful as the person that I am. And we can try to be valuable, useful, and not care so much about how we're actually wired or what our gifts actually are, and that can become a mess. But when we try to be valuable and are also acknowledging what's true of our actual personality and gift mix, something really powerful happens. We end up very satisfied, even if it's a job that, whether it's a job you love or a job you don't love, when you're present to it in a way that is driven by the question, how can I in quotes, like who I actually am, just be valuable to this group of people or to this place, we end up finding a satisfaction that transcends whether or not that place is a perfect fit for us. So when I help a company figure out who they really are, that begins the process of them actually loving their work more. Because when a company knows who they truly are, They're able to make the promises that are most connected to their identity, and they're able to figure out how to be valuable to their audiences in ways that are most meaningful. And that ultimately is what enables them to build a brand. And it's ultimately the same thing what enables a person to build a career and to be happy with what they're doing.
And it's a wonderfully creative, sometimes messy process to go through to get brands to really discover who they are. You had a recent keynote that you delivered here at Good Karma Brands that talked about a number of different things. Spoiler alert, it was really good. We're going to talk about that when we come back from the break. I want to get your thoughts on success, and then we're going to dive in to what branding and storytelling truly is and go through kind of a rapid fire around local brands and national brands with a guy that knows brands, Greg Marshall. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, joined today by Greg Marshall from CI Design, talking storytelling, branding, and getting to the why of work as we head into the Memorial Day weekend. Greg, I like to ask people, usually at the end of the show, but I'm gonna shake it up a little bit with you, to define success, because I know it's different for everyone, right? And I think it's one of those words that maybe we kind of all use a little too much. So it needs to be better defined to kind of get to the heart and soul of why we all get up each and every day and do what we do. How do you define it from your lens and, you know, from your professional lens working with clients to help brand and market their companies?
Yeah, a couple of different things there. I find the question kind of funny because we often talk about in different settings, like how do you define success? And I found myself just kind of aligning with the dictionary. It's the accomplishment of a goal or a purpose. And as a word nerd, I love words. I love language. If you look at the archaic or old fashioned understanding of the word success, it meant a good or a bad outcome of an undertaking. And so it originally didn't have the attachment of things working out the way you wanted. It was whatever outcome afterwards could be referred to as a success, whether it was good or bad. And if you look at the Latin word that it's actually connected to, means comes close after. So what ultimately at the root of the word, it's whatever comes close after trying something, whether it's good or bad, is where you can find success. And that success is sometimes what you learn from a failure. And so how I define success, I believe, is really rooted in that, where, you know, you tried a thing, you
right.
put your whole self into it because you felt like it was worth your time, and therefore you come out the other side and maybe it looks how you expected or maybe it doesn't, but close after that experience, you have a treasure to mine, whether that be the literal trophy or the lesson of how it didn't work and what you learned about yourself. But success is the good that you take out of whatever comes after.
Yeah. You know, to be able to go from failure to failure with enthusiasm. You know, that's one definition that I like to hold on to because it's really, you know, and especially from a marketing lens, I'm sure you have clients come to you and say, all right, we have a problem or we have a challenge. We need more sales. How do you start that conversation yet keep it anchored in the success metrics that you know the businesses are going to come back to you with, saying, hey, we didn't sell enough because you didn't market us the right way?
Yeah, it really requires figuring out where the problem actually is and where the most help is needed. And sometimes a company will have a really great story. They'll really understand what they're promising to the world, and they know their audiences. They just need a more strategic plan for communicating their story and their product and getting it in front of people in the right places at the right time with the right message, all of that, sort of that strategic work of just connecting the right way. But other companies aren't so confident, or maybe they are confident but don't really know who they are. They're not aligned in what the soul of their story and brand is. And my favorite thing is to help a company become more confident in who they truly are, so that they can know what they're ultimately promising, and then all of the strategy work comes out of that. So success in a deep sense means figuring out your true identity as an organization and defining it in a way where it can evolve, of course, mm-hmm. but knowing who you are so that you can then go out and make promises that are valuable to other people. And success is multifaceted, where it's like being confident that you know who you are is a major success. And the struggle of figuring that out provides all kinds of learning, but then also knowing and building a relationship with your audience. There's different ways to measure that that are all valuable and all lead towards the financial benefit that you're looking for. There was a definition of, forgive me for not remembering who said this, but definition of profit, one person said, you know, profit is like breathing.
Mm-hmm.
If it's not working, like, you got to fix it, but it's not why you're alive. And so, yes, we're going to measure, obviously, the sales, the leads that are coming in, the ultimate outcome of the financial, you know, there got to be that benefit there. But
right.
But we know the way that we're present, there's other things to measure that are success that lead to that and make that more likely over the long term.
Well, we're going to continue to explore this and how we can all, as people and companies, become more valuable and more whole as we look into the insights and the why behind branding with Greg Marshall. WTMJ News Time is 10:30, ABC News. And local headlines are coming up next, and more with our conversation with Greg Marshall. Welcome back to The Upswing, talking with Greg Marshall of CI Design today, all things storytelling, branding, and more. Greg, I often think, you know, from a business lens, that, like, everyone knows what marketing and advertising and branding is. The reality is, it's probably not often defined. So when a client comes to you for the first time, said, we need to do better branding, we need to brand this product better, what does that look like to you?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting, because a lot of people think of it in a very shallow way of, we want people to recognize this and we want it to look cool. Yeah. And with a product, sometimes that is the appropriate way to think about it. But for a company to really think about branding, it's ultimately deciding what is your strong, meaningful promise that you're giving authority to throughout the whole organization. So when a company's doing branding, it's the work of embodying a thing that you're promising to the world. And that's a very maybe abstract way of saying it. But it's not just people recognize my logo, people think of me when they need this product. That perception piece is important.
Right.
But in this day and age, like, to actually create trust with consumers who don't trust institutions, branding is really the work of embodying a promise throughout an organization. And that means it has authority in marketing and sales, but also HR and operations and strategy and vision casting. So
yeah,
it's a deep thing.
Yeah. And the why and how behind it is so incredibly important. It's not just make me a new logo and let's get it out there so the world can see, and then let's sell a bunch more stuff. It is so much more deeper than just creating a creative concept.
Yeah. And it's fun doing those projects where you're creating a thing. But you know, you want to be informed by what a company's actually trying to accomplish. You want to be informed by the audience who's going to be receiving it, not just what's going to get them to buy this product, but you want to know what actually matters to them, and you want to be curious about, like, what it's like to be them as a person. You want to find out things that you like about the audience so that you can discern, like, well, this would be special, this would be a gift to our audience if we created it this way. So yeah, it's an exercise in empathy and being curious. Even if it's a simple thing like, we just need a new logo, or we need a landing page for this thing, you still want to be curious to figure out, yeah, but what role is this thing playing in the building of a relationship between us?
Yeah. Well, we're going to talk about brand collaborations and how they've become really important in terms of standing out in a really crowded marketplace. And we'll do that after the break. But I want to throw out a few big brands to you, Greg, and see what your brand impression is of them. But
Quick Trip. Yeah, I dig Quick Trip. I think they're their the soul of their promise, it seems. I've never worked with them, but what I observe is I would use the phrase going the extra mile. I believe that's a statement that they use on their website. Their mission is ultimately to serve people more effectively than anyone else, mm-hmm. and to treat people how they want to be treated, how you would want to be treated. So there's a pretty cool altruistic vibe to what they're doing. I think that they've tried to embody the promise that they've stated, and I think they've been a leader in what's happening right now in a lot of gas stations. Is, you know, they're being built larger, they're being, you know, better lit, and a big part of that drive is because women often don't feel safe shopping for certain products in a grocery store because it doesn't feel bigger, lighter. And this is what I'm being told as we're doing work in the beverage industry. And it's fascinating. But you look at Quick Trip, and they're kind of they just did that out of the gate. You know, right. They're like, no, let's make it a nice place for everybody to feel welcome. Let's make sure the bathrooms are clean. So what I see in Quick Trip is a really cool example of attempting to embody a promise and to give that promise authority throughout the whole ecosystem, not just in the perception.
Yeah, and living and breathing that brand through all facets, and every day you walk in and you experience it, that's what it needs to do, and that's the hard work. That is the hard work. It doesn't just happen with one meeting. It needs to be, the groundwork needs to be laid, and it needs to be a part of everything that you do.
Yeah, and it leads to surprises. I mean, when you walk into a Quick Trip and there's a food there that you're like, wait, this is at a gas station,
yeah.
and it's actually pretty good, that those surprises are more likely when a company's trying to really give authority to the brand and not just do the thing that they think is going to sell something.
A creative brand collaboration just announced this morning. We're going to tell you what that is today as we continue to explore storytelling and branding with an expert, Greg Marshall. This is The Upswing, and we'll be right back after this break. Welcome back to The Upswing, talking branding, storytelling, and the why behind it all with Greg Marshall today as we lead into the Memorial Day weekend. Greg, there's a brand collaboration out that was just announced this morning that's pretty fun. It's going to hit on everything Milwaukee, everything Wisconsin, and going to fire up the grills. So Miller Lite and Big Green Egg have announced the Big Green Keg, a quarter barrel keg size holder that perfectly matches the iconic green outer shell. Have you seen these Big Green Egg grills? Yeah. So it matches the outer, the shell, and it's shaped like a big green egg, and the keg's ceramic chamber, a little bit of ice in there, and it's going to keep your beer cold from the first light of that first steak or that brat or that hot dog. So two pretty big iconic brands, one obviously with a ton of Milwaukee legacy coming together to do a brand collaboration. This collaboration seems like it makes a whole lot of sense.
Yeah, it does. I mean, there's a couple of things that they're accomplishing by creating the partnership, and one of them is association, obviously, where their goal would be to, when somebody sees a green egg grill, Big Green Egg, they would think about Miller Lite. But if Miller Lite does it right, they'll be able to leverage the partnership so that there's a growing association between those two things, where not just the green egg, but a grill in general. And so the more that this association is seen and appreciated and enjoyed, the more the sight of a grill, the use of a grill, will trigger the thought of a Miller Lite. And Miller Lite, you know, coming out of just maybe if their promise as a brand is, we want to be with you when you're having fun. We want to be with you when you're enjoying yourself. The grill is a really great association. There's a really fun example of Kit Kat bars were really struggling at one time, and they decided to try to associate their brand with, like, they're trying to ask the question of, like, what do people buy when they buy it, they should also buy our Kit Kat bar. And they did some research and thought coffee. And so they just kept associating the Kit Kat bar with coffee. And over time, the sales at gas stations in the morning when people are buying their coffee increased quite a bit. And so that association can be really, really powerful.
Repetition of message that definitely works. So do you find brand collaboration lens, does it make sense to create natural ones like this? Or you got to go way outside the zone and do things that are really wacky that are take the consumer's mind to a different place?
Yeah, I think it's it requires a lot of thought and strategy, but it should always be connected not to like the perception of whether these things make sense together. It comes to the question of, does this create blue ocean for us? And there's a metaphor, blue ocean strategy, that refers to, you know, if there's blood in the water, you know, as a shark, you know there's going to be food there, but the blood means there's also other sharks. So how do you find food where there's blue ocean? And when you find a partnership that doesn't look like it makes total sense, it does make sense when that other product creates a flow of people who also want your product.
Yeah. And as consumers, you know, we're kind of in this scroll mode, and we want something to stop that scroll. And sometimes it's got to be unsavory, especially in the food space, to get our attention. So I'm going to talk about that when we come back. There's been a couple recent brand collaborations that you look at, you're like, ooh, that does not look good. But a couple of them have made a whole lot of sense. Branding, storytelling, Greg Marshall, The Upswing. We'll be right back after this break. Cause I can't love you more than my hometown. Welcome back to The Upswing. Food brand collaborations are really a byproduct of the attention economy. You know, you got to wonder when consumers are going to get their fill. There's a lot of these creative collabs out there, Greg Marshall. Like, I don't know if you saw, you know what Crocs are? Those wonderfully kind of crunchy shoes that, you know, look a little different but are super comfortable. Crocs did a collaboration with Pringles. And I don't know, it shook up the consumer's mindset, but is a chip-based shoe really what the kids want?
A chip-based shoe. I wish that I had shoes made out of chips that I could just rock anywhere I wanted. Yeah, and the point of any collaboration, a good collaboration is one company that has a great relationship with their fans, and they recognize another company that has a great relationship with their fans. And whether or not they relate to each other directly doesn't really matter as much as we love our people, you love your people, let's introduce each other to each other's fans. And so, you know, the creative ideas of how to connect Pringles and Crocs can come later, but the heart of it is, looks like you have a great relationship with your people. Would you mind introducing us? We'll introduce you to ours. Yeah. And it becomes a great relationship.
And then you get that rising tides lifts all boats.
Yep. And the best ideas, too, come from paradox. And so when there's a situation that doesn't seem to make sense, if you just sit with that paradox long enough, really cool ideas come out of it. And so I think that's really cool when people try to surprise it.
All right. I'm always surprised on the custard level. And again, we're heading into a holiday weekend. There'll be a lot of custard, a lot of grilling. If some of the local companies not really embrace that paradox, like, why can't we get a Flaming Hot or a veggie flavored Cops custard? Like, would that just be too far away from a local custard brand like that? Because that's what people are doing on the national level. How do you bring that down to a local level?
Yeah, that would be, man, I think there's actually real reasons why that would be. And one would probably be that somebody tried and it failed.
Yeah.
But the way that you do it, it would require the kind of thing that we're talking about, where you'd have to find an audience who's curious for that, not the traditional, necessarily the traditional custard fan who's coming there for comfort, familiarity, a sense of I'm in my hometown and experiencing this thing that feels pure and simple and traditional. I think there's a comfort that comes in knowing what you're going to get something that you expect. But if a brand were to come around that really, really owned that, they'd have to master the flavors. But I think it would be possible. But I think there's so much desire for the comfort that custard offers in its traditional flavors that people are like, well, I don't feel like taking a risk.
Yeah, yeah. Well, hey, people can take their time to put together their own collaborations. I mentioned quickly, we only have about a minute left, but you really poured your heart and soul into a recent keynote here at Good Karma Brands. I missed the first couple minutes because it started during my show, but what was the title of that, and where do you hope to take that presentation in the future?
Yeah, the title was Love Brand Breakthroughs. Oh. And that's each word on its own, and it's a flow, too. And essentially, the beginning of the talk is to say, you know, it's important to recognize that no matter what situation you're in with work or anything else, you can always contribute to the best possible outcome. And you know you're moving in that direction when you are seeking simultaneously to be as valuable as you can, but also seeking to be whole as a person and not just trying to be valuable at the expense of who you really are. And so the pursuit of value and the pursuit of wholeness leads to a point of, you know, some pretty cool breakthroughs that that make us more valuable. But ultimately what I'm really talking about is the best way to be valuable in that way that's holistic is to love really well.
And that's where the magic comes from, whether it's branding, storytelling, or personal development.